Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
A great business needs a stunning website, and with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. You can show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it, so what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com, W-I-X.com, to create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast, bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Condia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Picks Podcast for you on this Friday. Dan Bach with you, and we thank FanDuel for throwing their name on this very show. You can check them out once again here tonight. Always go through our links here on Roto Grinders, and tonight, two more Playboy qualifiers. So down to the final three as the field of 80 is almost assembled, and that is going to include a $25 and a $500 queue tonight. So if you want to go to that party on June the 4th, which is really sizing up to be a tough field, I'll tell you what, if you win on that weekend, you've certainly earned it because it is stacked. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. So last chance to kind of be a part of that live final. Today in the podcast, going to talk a little bit about what's happening in the legislation out there in Illinois. Mind-boggling, but we'll get to that here in just a moment. And then we'll get to the Friday night slate in daily fantasy baseball. For the people who are wondering about the state of New York, still lots of, like, you know, talking, saying we're close, we're going to have this bill ready soon, you know, look forward to getting to committees, you know, early June. So, again, that's one that I still think a lot of the maneuvering on that New York bill is going to happen behind the scenes when it's introduced. I expect it to fly through committees and hopefully votes, because I just don't think that they would bring it up if they didn't feel like they had the votes. But doesn't seem to be, at this moment, a ton of opposition out there in New York to getting some clarity in the law. The same cannot be said for Illinois, where we basically had quite the situation yesterday. If you didn't hear, instead of going through the House, basically what they did in Illinois was put the Senate bill on the floor first. Now, it mirrors the House bill, so basically having these two, you know, line up is going to be fairly simple, but they basically wanted to get the momentum going, and they felt that they had a better chance of getting it in the Senate, and it didn't look like there was going to be a vote, and then late in the day, it happened, and sure enough, it passed. I think it was like 33 or 32 to 22, so basically needed to get 30 votes. They got it, and that means the bill will move on to the House. If it passes the House, goes to the governor, and lo and behold, the state of Illinois will have the clarity that we need for fantasy sports. But it never goes quite as easy as everybody expects, because late yesterday, or I guess it was early evening yesterday, there was something that came out that basically said one of the people who voted for the bill came out and filed a motion to reconsider. Basically more or less saying, I didn't really mean to vote the way that I did. I think we need a revote on this. And apparently, again, I'm not on the inside of politics here, but it's got to be somebody who voted yes on the bill who does this. So this is what happened. This is how absolutely pathetic our political system is. That Antonio Munoz, so he is a state senator in Illinois, voted yes on this bill, full well knowing that the opposition, that the no votes did not have enough to stop this bill. So what he did, being a no vote, he voted yes, and then afterwards knew that, hey, I don't have the votes, but what I can do is file this motion to reconsider. So therefore, it gives the Rivers Casino lobby 3 extra days to try and lobby some more senators' votes in our favor, and we've got to revote it on Monday. So this is the kind of political ploy that is going on in Illinois, where even when you know you're going to lose, which is exactly what happened here, he knew they were going to lose. He knew they didn't have enough no votes, so he votes yes just so they can delay it, revote, and try to get in the heads, the pockets of some of these other 31 or 32 senators who did the right thing to support fantasy sports. It's pathetic, but that's exactly what took place yesterday in Illinois. So basically what we're going to see here on Monday is another revote, more than likely in the Senate. Hopefully, I mean, I'll tell you right now, if you've got flippers from yes votes to no votes, it's going to be highly disappointing, and it's going to make those people look really, really bad. Antonio Munoz already looked horrible for this. If you're his constituent, boy, not somebody I would be too excited to have representing me to kind of go down these political tactics, using these political tactics to allow the lobbyists for the casino industry to try and swing more votes, give them three extra days. You lost, deal with it. But instead, he did it. And I got a hunch that, you know, these senators are going to hold strong, because it would look really bad to flip, especially in a vote that is this close at this point in time, because you're already on the record saying, yes, I want to get behind fantasy sports. I think it's important. There's millions of people in Illinois who want to play fantasy sports. You know, this is an important issue for the people in Illinois. And for that suddenly to change within 3 days, I'd be shocked if that happened. But this is just evidence of how important it is, if you live in that state, to please, 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 please make a call to your local congressmen and women out there. I don't know, assemblymen or women, I guess is the probably the better way to say it. And let them know that you want to support this bill, because it's vitally important right now, boys and girls, because it is very, very, very close. And every phone call, every email, every visit to their office is going to matter here. And Illinois, if this doesn't go the right way, don't think for a second that fantasy sports couldn't leave Illinois. It very well could, and might even be more of a likelihood that it does, based on the negative opinion that we saw from the Attorney General late last year. So here's your chance. You know, this is your chance to have your voice heard. Please go to fantasysportsforall.com, find out who that assembly person is, call them up, and do this, because this is an important issue for our industry moving forward, and an incredibly important state, and it's all about momentum. And if we can get Illinois, we can get New York here in the final months of the legislative session for 2016, that would definitely put us on a great path for some other states like Texas and Idaho and you know, other states that are trying to prevent people from playing fantasy sports. So do this. I'm telling you, it's very, very important. But the pathetic political posturing that we saw last night on this vote, I mean, Antonio Munoz should be freaking embarrassed that he went down that road to purposely vote one way that you didn't believe in, just so you could come back and give the lobby more time. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. Now, that's politics at its finest, I suppose. Maybe that's Illinois politics at its finest, but it's, you know, it's our job to, you know, make these people accountable. And, you know, now's the time. And I heard that the casino has like 50 some odd lobbyists. 50. I'm guessing that the fantasy sports lobby maybe has like 5, maybe? I don't know. I guarantee you they don't have 50. I'll tell you that much. So it's going to be a tough battle. And it's funny because you hear guys like, I think it was the head of MGM who came out, who said that I do not oppose, you know, fantasy sports. I'm fine with it. And then you've got, you know, this Rivers Casino, which for whatever reason, you just cannot tolerate fantasy sports. Oh my goodness. God forbid we have fantasy sports in the state of Illinois to compete with our casinos. Don't do it. Come on, give me a break. So go Illinois, big day coming up on Monday. I'm going to drill it in your mind on Monday as well, but that's the latest that we have there. All right, let's get to today's slate in Daily Fantasy Baseball here. We're going to look at FanDuel pricing. They're our fine sponsor here on this show. And we've got Jake Arrieta on the mound today. We always start with our pitchers at a 12-2 price tag going against the Giants on the road. Pretty solid favorite here. And you're not doing anything wrong if you use Jake Arrieta. Minus 173. This guy's game log has been just super consistent, has a great offense behind him. I mean, 63, 30, 48, 42, 57, 60, 42. I mean, the guy is mega consistent. But my worry is he's not Kershaw in the sense of he's going to get you big strikeout totals. I think he's gone over double-digit strikeouts once over his last 10 starts. So that's not really what I'm looking for a 12K guy, because that means you're that much more reliant on getting the W. Now, Jake Peavy's pitching. You've got an offensive, you know, juggernaut behind you. So, yeah, he's very likely to pick up a win tonight. But if he doesn't, you're not getting what you need out of that 12-2. And that's what makes me nervous. Even in Kershaw's worst days, without a win, you're still set up pretty well because he's going to give you 9, 10 strikeouts. Same can't be said for Arrieta. So I like him, but he's probably not my favorite today because I think there's some bats we might want to get in our lineup. And it's tough to do here with him on your team. And I know I've kind of sound like a broken record on Arrieta because I've said this before, but I just don't see him being a tournament-winning pitcher. You know, again, cash games, I get it. I'm fine with it. I don't know if that's where I'm going exactly, but in tournaments, I think you need more upside from your bats than to roll Jake Arrieta out. I don't think he's going to be on the winning team today. Let's just put it that way. The other guys that I'm looking at here today, we've got Gerrit Cole going against Colorado at 10-2. Another guy who does not give you huge strikeout upside, but can give you 5, 6, 7 in that area. And if he picks up a win, you know, a lot of his numbers are pretty comparable to what we saw with Arrieta. 57, 45, 33, 51. So he's got that 50 fantasy point upside that we like, but he comes at a $2,000 price tag cheaper. And that's interesting to me. Now, Colorado bats started to get a little bit hot there against the St. Louis Cardinals. But, you know, away from Coors, that offense still leaves a lot to be desired. We look at Vegas's perspective of this game. They've got Cole as the biggest favorite of the day at minus 227 with an over-under of 7.5. The run line coming in at 2.9 for the Rockies, so less than 3. I think that Cole is a fine option, cash and tournaments, and I think I prefer him over Arrieta, certainly in tournaments, to spend that 2K on some bats. Steven Matz is a big favorite today, but be careful here. This guy kind of is coming off a little bit of an injury. I believe Terry Collins said he's going to be a little conservative with Matt's forearm pitch count against the Brewers. That's not something that really gets me excited. Absolute avoid versus in cash games. And even in tournaments, I don't see the upside in rolling him out over a Gerrit Cole for 400 more. And there's other players for less that I like. So I'm kind of off of Matt's today. A lefty versus Milwaukee, not a great spot anyway. Corey Kluber's been knocked around a good bit lately. And I think that this matchup versus the Boston Red Sox is scary. Boston's bats are huge. The total in this one's at 8.5. I just don't see a reason to go there, even in tournaments. Yes, he could mow him down and have one of his, you know, 60 fantasy point games. But, you know, he's had two of those in the last 10 and eight others that weren't, including 1, 2, 3 under 20 fantasy points, which will absolutely kill you. Quintana against Kansas City. I'm not super high on Quintana tonight, and you know, he's pitched very consistent this year. His ERA is 1.5, but he also has a Sierra of 3.5, so I think we're going to see some regression from him. And this matchup versus Kansas City, a sneaky high total here in this one too, sitting at, I think it's 8.5, I guess it's 7.5, it's not that high, but minus 156. I'm not going to Quintana today, but I think some people certainly will. Aaron Nola's the guy I love at 9K, and I'm already reading a lot of stuff on him this morning that I think he'll probably be rather chalky. You get big savings with still big K upside. You know, you look at the logs here, hasn't been less than 5 Ks over the last 9 starts, and that includes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of his last 9 going for seven or more. Gets the Atlanta Braves tonight, and anytime the Phillies are minus 171 favorites, that should tell you something. Braves offense got pretty much shut down by Jeff Locke, even got some nice strikeout numbers there. So I expect Nola to keep it going here today against the Atlanta Braves, and really sharp play, cash games, tournaments, everyone. Carlos Martinez, you know, you look at his history against Arizona, it's pretty darn good. In 60 at-bats, he's, 23% K rate, 434 OPS, an average against of only 183. Arizona not bad against righties, and Vegas certainly likes him a pretty good bit today, sitting at a minus 154. Arizona only with a 3.13. I think he's a perfect tournament option. I don't necessarily trust him in cash for some of the issues that he has with finding the strike zone. I mean, you look at the innings pitched, 5 and 3.1 over the last two. He does have some 8 and 7s worked in there, but if he gets three walks or more, good chance he might not go seven innings today. So I like the salary on him at 9,000, but not going to be a heavy cash game target. Tournaments, I'm fine. The other guy I really like for tournaments tonight could be Aaron Sanchez. He is elite against righties, and he's going to face a whole lot of them out there in this lineup for the Minnesota Twins. And a lot of those righties have big K upside, guys like Park and Sano. And Aaron Sanchez throws the ball really, really hard. So I like the K upside here. And the matchup kind of sets up fine. 8,500. Perfect kind of tournament play for us here today. And then on the cheap seats, not too much I'd be willing to go to. If I wanted a dart under 7K today, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it might actually be a guy like Anibal Sanchez at 6,800 against Tampa, a team that's not particularly great versus right-handers, because nobody else really is a guy that I trust whatsoever. Don't know too much about Tyler Duffy. His strikeout numbers have been pretty good the last three games, 6, 9, and 7, going against a struggling Toronto team at home. Maybe you could consider Tyler Duffy at 6.4, but yeah, I mean, we're just Toronto's bats. They just have been bad lately, so I guess he could be a tournament punt for you. All right, let's go to the game-by-game breakdown here and give you our thoughts on tonight. We'll start Colorado and Pirates. Again, not going to be looking at many Colorado bats right now. Yeah, we've got Carlos Gonzalez cheap at 2.9, but he has been in a major slump. He's 2.9 for a reason, and I like Gerrit Cole, so I'm not really going to go to Colorado today. Pittsburgh, you've got Gregory Polanco against Eddie Butler, who is smoking hot right now. Polanco is. He has put up some gaudy numbers over the last week, including, 34, a 27, a 24, three of the last four games. So he's swinging a hot bat, a positive matchup, under 4K on FanDuel. I'm okay with him. We'll see what the lineup makeup is today. Matt Joyce could be in the lineup at 3.1, though. Not a gimme price tag, lower in the order. McCutcheon I'm okay with, but at 4.1, I think I'd prefer Polanco over him. And Jaso leading off at first base at 2.9, meh for first base. He's okay, but not great. Braves and Phillies, again, not on the Braves because I like Nola. I'll have some exposure to him. As for the Philly side of things, a couple of guys to look at. Ryan Howard could get a righty today. Matt Whistler, who sucks versus left-handed pitching. Terrible number, or left-handed hitting. So terrible numbers there. Not a big strikeout guy. Seems like a at-bat where, or a matchup where, you know, Howard could take one deep. And he's cheap, 2.3K. Love the tournament upside there for him. Don't mind Mikel Franco as well over at third base. You know, he's always gives you a big home run upside, big power guy for a cheap price tag. If you think Whistler is going to get lit up today, he could be, you know, a cheaper under 3K bat from that team that that gets it done. Galvis, Cameron Rupp, probably not too interested in those guys tonight. Nats and Marlins, this game, sneaky high total at 8.5 here between these two teams. Tanner Roark against Nicolino. Nicolino, very limited in his strikeout upside here. So the Nats bats, I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, continue and have a nice day here today. Bryce Harper, kind of splits indifferent for him. Is he going to get pitched around or not? Well, Daniel Murphy made him pay yesterday for doing that. And Murphy's actually got pretty good numbers versus lefties so far this season, so I'm not afraid to roll him out. in a Nats stack, but I don't think I'd use him kind of standalone at 3.7. If you want some value, Zimmerman at 3.2, a part of a stack I don't hate. And I think Jason Wirth, I don't like him betting six, but I love him versus the lefty in Nicolino. His numbers have been pretty darn good versus left-handers this year. Let's see. Over the last 4 weeks, again, very small sample size there, but 7 hits in the 10 at-bats he's faced left-handers. So Jason Wirth, like him a good bit today, and a fair salary at 3.1. As for the Marlins, again, they're a team that has a fairly high run total themselves, right around 4, and a decent price, and guys like Dietrich. Prado has some incredible BVP today against Tanner Roark. He's under 3K tonight. Stanton at under 4K. Now, he has been slumping, and he is certainly a guy who, you know, when he gets into a slump, it's pretty bad. He's certainly 0 for his last 10 and hasn't had a multi-hit game in his last 7. So, cheap price tag, huge tournament upside, and a highish total makes him somewhat interesting to me, but I don't necessarily think we need to go there as a standalone play tonight. Brewers and Mets. Mets are big favorites, 4.5 their expected output here today, and Willie Peralta's on the mound for the Brewers, and Peralta's really not good. And I think we can look up and down this entire Mets lineup today. I think Cespedes is a great play today. Conforto at 3-4 I like, and even Granderson leading off at 3K. Duda, he's been slumping, and he's certainly a guy that he and Neil Walker got off to that torrid pace, but they clearly have kind of cooled down, which you expected. You know, those two guys weren't going to keep it up all year long. If there's a spot for them to get it going again today, it could be against Willie Peralta, but I think that's a tournament play only for me. 3K for Duda, Neil Walker at 2.7. Mats is a guy who doesn't, you know, we talked about the issues with him, possible limited pitch count here today. We'll see if Ryan Braun is back in the lineup. He's missed the last couple. If he is, certainly a guy to keep my eye on today. Lucroy, just too expensive at catcher at 3.7, but Chris Carter, a great value at 3K. Not a great ballpark. Again, they've got an expected run total of under 3 right now, so I'm not going to load up, but in a tournament format, if you want a guy who's got double the dong home runs upside for 3K, it's Chris Carter tonight. Indians, Red Sox, this game sitting at a 9 with Kluber and Clay Buchholz. Both these offenses have been great over the last month, and I think that, you know, it's obviously going to keep us away from both sets of pitchers. Clay Buchholz, his WOBA to lefties is 80 points higher than it is to righties. So, Jason Kipnis, Lindor, Carlos Santana with 2 home runs, all these guys I think are certainly in play today. Really like Kipnis at 3.7 tonight, batting second. So, give me some Indians. And then the Red Sox, I like them too, but A, they're expensive, and B, it is still Corey Kluber. I think we'll probably get low ownership on these guys, but we will, we'll see. You know, I think that it's whether or not, you know, people want to, is there enough cheap pitching out there to fit multiple 4K guys from a team? You got Ortiz, you got Mookie Betts, Bogarts all over 4K here today. For that reason, I probably would prefer the Indian side here. They're actually favored against the Red Sox. And again, their lefties match up pretty well against Clay Buchholz. Reds and Mariners, keep our eye on the weather here. Looks pretty ugly. Obviously, Kevin Roth will give us his forecast a little bit later today. But if this game decides to go, I certainly like the Mariners side over the Reds here. Not that Iwakuma has been shut down, because he certainly hasn't. But good ballpark bump for the Mariners, and guys like Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz going against Dan Straley, a very, very good matchup. Kyle Seager has been swinging an incredibly hot bat lately, and certainly a guy to kind of keep your eye on here today. Last couple weeks has been just really, really hot. 4.1 is his salary, and if you want your value option, Adam Lind is checking in at 2.3. I played him in a bunch of my stacks over the last week, and he wasn't dreadful, but of course, I didn't stack up Seattle yesterday and he hits a home run. But lo and behold, welcome to Daily Fantasy Baseball. The red side of things against Iwakuma, again, a guy like Billy Hamilton gives you the strikeout or the stolen base upside that you like at the position, because if he gets on base, you're almost a lock to get double digit fantasy points for that day. He's at 2.9. I don't hate him because of that upside, and it's just a matter of does he get on base or not. Votto, no thanks. I don't think at 3.8 I want to go there today. Jay Bruce at 3.9. Again, his salary got juiced up a little bit after that two-home run day. He usually does hit his home runs in spurts, and outside of the 0-for-4 he had yesterday, 3-for-4, 2-for-3, 2-for-4, 3-for-3. So he's certainly seeing the ball a little bit better. But keep our eye on the weather there in Cincinnati. Rays and Tigers, 8.5, Matt Andrés against Anibal Sanchez. And, yeah, I don't really love the Rays here. You know, they just don't sport a whole lot of left-handed pitching. And not that, you know, Anibal Sanchez can't be had by right-handers, but the numbers this season have been pretty one-sided for Tampa Bay. And I don't expect to necessarily stack them up today, especially because their salaries aren't cheap. They kind of had a pretty good series there against the Blue Jays, and you got guys like Pierce, Longoria, you know, in the mid to upper threes. If you can get these guys, you know, all in the low 2Ks and you can put them with a Arrieta, then yeah, but I don't think we can necessarily do that today. So the side I'm looking at here is Detroit. Their bats are starting to wake up a little bit here today. Not a particularly warm day out there in Detroit, only like 66 degrees, but their bats are heating up a little bit. Oh, good pun. JD Martinez at 4K. I know it's hard to pay that number when we were getting him for like 2.9, but this guy has multi-hit games in four consecutive and has either had a home run or a triple in all four of those games. So he's seeing the ball really, really well right now. Stacking him up with Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, even an Ian Kinsler who's playing really, really well right now. You can do it, but you're going to have to do it with Aaron Nola or a pitcher of, you know, lesser repute. Kansas City and the White Sox. Again, I told you I wasn't really on the Quintana today. Not that I'm stacking the Royals, but I do think Lorenzo Cain today is a sneaky option. Pretty good history versus Quintana, but more than anything, this guy has mashed versus left-handed pitching. Just hasn't faced a lot of it this year, and I think this is a spot for, if there is going to be regression for Quintana, maybe it comes in the form of a Lorenzo Cain home run. So I love the salary on him today, batting near the top of the order. He's kind of a perfect little piecemeal guy here tonight. But besides him, again, too many lefties normally for the Kansas City Royals. We could maybe keep our eye on Salvador Perez a little bit. His logs have been a little bit better lately. He's got hits in, looks like, 8 of his last 9 games, which is pretty solid there. And I'm okay with him, but at 2.9K as a catcher option. But he and Kane, my top targets in this one. And then the White Sox go out against Dylan G, who is really not done particularly well against these White Sox hitters. 49 at-bats, giving up 21 hits, including 4 home runs and 2 doubles. So, yeah, if you're into the whole pitcher versus batter numbers, then you might be interested in the White Sox. I just can't ever stack them up. They're just not enough firepower from top to bottom. But in a Jose Abreu, even though he's over 4K now, certainly gives you that big home run upside that you're kind of looking for. So, yeah, he or Frazier would be my choices, but they're both not on the cheap. Speaking of the cheap, Rangers and Astros today, I don't know what's up with the DraftKings algorithm, but they do not like the Rangers tonight, and I don't know why. It's like they think Clayton Kershaw is pitching, because you can get Mazzara at 2.9, you can get Odor at 3.6. Like, they are really cheap over there. And going against Lance McCullers, I'm okay with it in that ballpark in Houston. Highest total of the day. I don't hate Mazzara on FanDuel at 3.1, but he's under 3K on DraftKings. Like, plug and play there. I don't know if Prince Fielder's ever going to get it going, but I don't think I'm going to go that route tonight, even though he's mega cheap on FanDuel today. So I like the Rangers on FanDuel, love them on DraftKings. As for the Astros tonight, Carlos Correa really seeing the ball well. Batting third at 4.5. Shortstop's a bit of a pain to roster. And, you know, he did have an 0-for last game, but hits in, what, 5 consecutive before then. And I'm fine against Colby Lewis. This whole lineup from top to bottom versus Colby Lewis is very intriguing. Evan Gattis at 2.7. Colby Rasmus at 3.5. Even Tyler White potentially at 2.7. Obviously had that big game a couple of games ago where he hit 2 home runs. And he's going to be low-owned, he's going to be cheap, he's going to be in the middle of that lineup. So this is definitely a game that I want exposure to both sides. Toronto and the Twins, I think I'm more on pitching than hitting here. The Twins, you know, certainly have a lot of righties in this lineup, and that's just not what you want against Aaron Sanchez. We'll see, you know, a guy like Oswaldo Arcia might move up in the lineup and be a decent target at 2.6K. But I'm not messing with those numbers, so no thanks there on the Twins. And for the Blue Jays, I mean, you can always stack them up and hope the bats get hot, and it's not an impossibility. Minnesota's a good park to hit in, but that's, a flyer in a tournament. It's not any real cash game options I'm seeing here today for Toronto. So maybe Encarnacion, but even at 3.9, just too pricey. Let's move on to the Diamondbacks and Cardinals. Again, Martinez versus Corbin. Certainly the side I want, I think, is going to be the Cardinals side here. And looking at a guy like, you know, some really cheap bats under 3K, a guy like Matt Holliday today, for example. It's not great lately, but not terrible for 2.6. The Inside Edge loves him. They give him a 5 stars today. The note on him is slugging .469 against pitchers with similar repertoires as Corbin over the last 2 years. Because that's what Inside Edge does. They kind of categorize all the players, certain styles, and, obviously look at the results of hitters versus pitchers with those certain styles. So they like Holliday today at 2.7. He's fine. But all in all, this isn't a game I'm looking for a ton of exposure to with that lowish total that we have. On the flip side, if you want to fade Carlos Martinez, Jake Lamb is a guy to do it with. Paul Goldschmidt starting to hit the ball a little bit better as well. Not an ideal ballpark. We like him better versus lefties, but he's got RBIs in 4 straight games, so I think his numbers are going to normalize a little bit. Great tournament option. Yankees and A's, Sabathia versus Sonny Gray. And, I don't like CC Sabathia. I don't think he's very good here at all. So I think Danny Valencia tonight could be your chalk. 3.3 batting cleanup maybe for the A's. Real cheap on DraftKings too, under 4K. And he's been a lefty killer. Sabathia is not a particularly good lefty. Everything pretty much adds up for him today. If you want to, let me just bring this up real quick. BVP-wise for these matchups, they face each other a good bit. Billy Butler, 11 for 41. Tough to look at those numbers. Billy Butler just sucks now, so don't play Billy Butler. But overall, you know, Stephen Vogt today against a lefty, you can't really go there at 2.2. If Josh Fagley might be in the lineup today, I think he's not hurt or anything like that, but if he's in the lineup, he could be a possibility to, if we got a righty there against Sabathia for cheap at catcher. At the top of the order, Crisp and Burns, 2-9, 3-2 against a bad pitcher. If you want to roll a top 4 stack, Crisp, Burns, Crush Davis, Valencia, you could do worse. All three of those guys, 3.6 or less. So you could still get good pitching with that stack, and they're, decent projected output today over 4. The Yankees side going against Sonny Gray. Gray's not a guy I pick on, certainly at home in that ballpark. So besides the, pretty cheap prices and the kind of cash game upside you get in Ellsbury and Gardner, not really a whole lot I'm looking at here today from the Yankee side. Angels and Orioles, maybe not a hotter hitter in baseball than Mike Trout today. He's certainly pricey at 4.8, but this guy's been getting it done. 40, 34, 22 in 3 of his last 4. Also had a 24 and 27 a couple of games before that. So against Mike Wright is a fine spot for him, and maybe the Angels offense in general continues to get going. I just can't trust pretty much anybody else besides Trout. Escobar leading off, but, at third base, give me Valencia all day long against CeCe. Calhoun at 3.5, meh. Pujols at 3.6, meh. Just not a whole lot there. So I think they're not an offense I want to stack. But if you can fit a high-priced bat, Mike Trout's the one you want. The Orioles today against Hector Santiago. Maybe this is a spot for Machado and Adam Jones and Trumbo potentially to get going here. Santiago's all right, but not like a guy who can't get roughed up by any means. Last start was good, only 2 hits in 8 innings against Seattle. But, St. Louis, 7 hits in 4. Milwaukee, 8 hits in 5. Texas, 8 hits in 5. So, his last 2 starts against Seattle, pretty good. but he's had some bad starts along the way. I don't hate the Orioles bats, but long road trip for them going out west, kind of scary for me. Machado's still a nice price at 3.7. Prefer him versus righties, believe it or not, but he should be fine in this matchup. So, yeah. Top of that lineup's fine. Matt Wieters, usually a guy we look at versus lefties. And, you know, last game finally went 3-for-4 with a 2 doubles and a homer. If you want to play the, you know, maybe he's waking up with his bat card, you could roll him out there. But he's been really bad this season. Cubs and Giants, this is a tough one. You know, very low total here in this matchup. But we've got Jake Arrieta on the mound. But opposite of him, you got Jake Peavy, who's been dreadful this season. I've seen a lot of the projection systems really like Anthony Rizzo tonight. But, man, there's not a stadium that negates you know, lefty power quite like AT&T Park out there. So Rizzo's somewhat scary for that 4.4 price tag. The Cubs didn't hit the ball at all in Milwaukee, which was somewhat surprising. Another team going from east to west. I'm probably not going there. You know, I just expected them. Maybe this line changes a little bit. And yeah, I expect them to maybe get going at some point in time, but they're still priced really up in a big ballpark. If you get, you know, Jorge Soler in the lineup at 2.1 against Peavy, I can get behind that. Maybe even Hayward at 3.5, but I don't see me paying the 4K price tags for Fowler, Bryant, Rizzo, Zobrist here today against Jake Peavy in that ballpark. Peavy's terrible. Don't get me wrong. He is terrible, but not probably the way I'm going tonight. And not interested in the Giants' bats against Arrieta. Last game for us, Friedrich for the Padres against Kazmir and the Dodgers. Both sides interesting kind of here. We definitely got some value on the Padres side against Kazmir, who can be had. You know, Kemp at 3K. Norris could be maybe a sneaky catcher for you at 2.3. You know, we got him projected in the batting in the two-hole. He's really had a down year. There's no question about it. Fairly awful year, to be honest with you, to be frank. But he's really cheap, and there's very limited kind of catching options today. And I'm not a fan of Scott Kazmir. You know, the bottom of the order leaves a lot to be desired. So even a Will Myers leading off at 2.9K, not the worst option on the board. And then the Dodgers front, I can't figure this team out. I mean, you've got a lefty on the mound, so we got to look to guys like Thompson and Puig, who are dirt cheap today. I mean, the whole lineup is cheap. Turner, Enrique maybe leading off again at 2.2, Kendrick at 2.8. So you can get some cheap exposure to the Dodgers bats, but they've been disappointing pretty much most of this season. All right, that's it. That's the outlook for us on this Friday morning. We appreciate you guys giving us a listen and a download. Do check out Grinders Live here tonight. We've got 3.5 tremendous hours of daily fantasy talk until lineup lock. You can catch me and the STL Cardinals 84. That's right. Justin Van Zuten on XM tonight from 6 to 7. And if you've got feedback about anything happening at Grinders, you know where to find us. Dan at rotogrinders.com, at Dan underscore Bach, the old Twitter handle. Good way to get in touch with me. Till Monday. Have yourself a great weekend. FantasySportsForAll.com. Be sure to have your voice heard. And until next time, I'm out. We will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders.